possible now that you're here.
Demand if we'd open our Bibles this evening to Acts chapter 4. This will be number 35 in our series in the last sermon, From What the Holy Ghost Was Given For. We're just going to cover the last four paragraphs, which he didn't get into too much doctrinal or pastoral thought, so it'll be a short service tonight. But Brother Brennan takes his thoughts from Acts 4, verse 30, actually. So we'll begin at 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak the word, thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful for your grace and your power, your healing words, your healing power to heal the body. And Father, we just ask you to be with us tonight as we would break the bread of life. Help us, Lord, as we conclude this wonderful sermon that your prophet brought to us on what is the Holy Ghost given for. We've learned a lot, Lord, about our personal walk with thee, and we want to thank you, Lord, for that. And we ask you to bless the words, Lord, and may they not just go to our hearts and to our minds, but Father, may they take over every fiber of our body, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, Brother Branham said in paragraph 95, now how many wants to receive the Holy Ghost? Examination of our lives. How many hasn't received it and wants to? Raise up your hands and say, Brother Branham, the depths of my heart, I want to receive the Holy Ghost. Well, God bless you everywhere. How many of you that has received it and would like to go like they did in Acts 4 and say, O Lord, stretch forth thine hand to heal, and showing signs and wonders in the name of thy holy child Jesus, and give me all boldness and love to speak and a new feeling. Put my hand up there. Yes, and here's mine too. God, give it to me. And let us bow our heads in the deepest of sincerity, each person holding your desire in your heart. Lord Jesus, we close this little gathering tonight after the fellowship around the Word and the Holy Ghost. How he has blessed us and poured out into our hearts the oil of his word. How he has blessed us and poured out into our hearts the oil of his word. There are ministers, there are men here that were all walks of life that's tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We know what the Holy Spirit is now, a promise of God. It is eternal life to as many as believe. And we know that the Holy Spirit was the Spirit of Jesus Christ sent back. And he's in us today as God was above us in that pillar of fire. Then he walked with us in a body that was called Emmanuel, God with us. And now he is in us by the Holy Spirit, God in us. Oh, Jesus said, at that day, you'll know that I'm in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And you'll understand it that day, because you're in a world of darkness, as to say now, but at that day, you'll understand. So what day was Jesus talking about when he said, at that day, that you'll know that I'm in the Father, etc.? What day was he referring to, and why did Brother Branham bring it up here? First of all, we find Jesus speaking those words in John 14 and 20, right after he spoke to them concerning the works that he did would also be done in every man in whom his spirit would abide. That's John 14, 12. Whosoever believeth in me, the works that I do shall he do also. Now, for a little background, remember we read from John 13 every single communion service, because it is a chapter where we see the scene of Jesus breaking bread with the disciples. And then Judas walks out. And Jesus tells Peter that before the cock crows, he will deny him three times. Those are the last few words that we read in John chapter 13 as they listen to Jesus speak to them, and as they have finished their meal. Now, John 14 takes place when the meal has ended and before they leave for the Garden of Gethsemane. So the scene is they have just had the breaking of bread. They've had the foot washing. They've had the breaking of bread. Judas hurries and he leaves. And now they're getting ready to, the rest of them, to get up and go. And so this is the scene that's taking place. These are the last words that Jesus has to talk to the group as a group. And I'm sure that if you walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, you would remember also the last few words that he spoke to you. Perhaps more than any other words that he spoke concerning those 3.5 years. Therefore, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 13. And we're going to read from this scene that's taking place here. I'm going to begin at verse 29. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. In other words, Judas, with the piece of bread in hand, got up, and immediately he left, and it was night. It's interesting that John paints a vivid description of Judas as he was in a hurry to betray Jesus, didn't even wait until the meal was over. But he got up and he left with bread in hand. Then John says it was night. In other words, darkness has set in, not just physically, but spiritually as well. Verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Now, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him." Now, I'm sorry to say this is King James reading, and it's very confusing what he's saying here. It's not easy to understand because the King James English is kind of, I don't know, it's just kind of difficult. I'd like to read it from a couple other translations. It'll make a lot more sense to you. From the Message translation, verse 31. When he had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man will be seen for who he is. And God will also be seen for who he is in him. The moment God is seen in him, God's glory will be on display. In glorifying him, he himself is glorified, glory all around." In other words, when God's glory, when his opinions, his values, his judgments are seen in Jesus, then God himself receives glory. Then we hear Jesus say, "Children, I am with you for only a short time longer. You are going to look high and low for me. But just as I told the Jews, I'm telling you, where I go, you are not able to come. Let me give you a new commandment, though. Love one another. In the same way that I have loved you, you should love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you're my disciple, when they see the love that you have for each other." Now, let me read that from the Voice translation. Paragraph 31, or verse 31. "Now the Son of Man will be glorified as God is glorified in him. If God's glory is in him, his glory is also in God. This applies to you also. If God's glory is in you, his opinions, his values, and his judgment, if God's glory is in you, your glory is also in God." Jesus continues, "The moment of this astounding glory is imminent. My children, my time here is brief. You'll be searching for me, and as I told the Jews, you cannot go where I'm going. So I give you a new commandment: love each other deeply and fully. Remember the ways that I've loved you, and demonstrate your love for one another in these same ways. Everyone will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others." I was just reading from another sermon tonight, actually, in Brother Branham, from the Power of Transformation. He was talking to the people about love. He says, you know, you can talk about love, but he said, but until you demonstrate it, people really don't know if you have it. And that's what Jesus is saying. Let it be demonstrated in the way that you act, in the way you speak one to another. He continues, "The moment of this astounding glory is imminent. My children..." Oh, I already read that. Okay. Anyway. Notice he's saying, "Do to others as you've seen me do. Speak to others as you've seen me do. And act toward others as you've seen me act. Let the attitude that I have be in you. Become my reflection. Become my echo here on earth. Become me to them in my absence. Because I must go away and you cannot come now where I'm going. But you will arrive where I am later on down the road. Simon Peter asked, Master, where are you going? Jesus answered and said, you can't now follow me where I'm going, but you will follow later. Master, said Peter, why can't I follow now? Look at Peter's impatience here. This is before he received the Holy Spirit. I'll lay down my life for you. And notice what Jesus says to Peter's bold statement. Really? You'll lay your life down for me? The truth is that before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. What a stunning reply. But pride cometh before a fall. Peter's words were boastful and proud, but not knowing what circumstances he was going to face. How many times people boast until the circumstances hit them in the face? Then where's their boasting? And now the scene has changed, but they're getting ready to leave for Gethsemane as we read in chapter 14. And remember, chapter 14 is the last time Jesus spent with his disciples together in one place before they leave for Gethsemane, his place of struggle. John 14, from the voice. This is Jesus speaking. Don't get lost in despair. Now, he had just told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. But then the very next words he says is, don't get lost in despair. Peter must have just been really crushed by those words that Jesus said. And now he says, but don't get lost in despair, Peter. Don't focus on what I just told you. Believe in God and keep on believing in me. My Father's home is designed to accommodate all of you. If there were not room for everyone, I would have told you that. I'm going to make arrangements for your arrival. I will be there to greet you personally and welcome you home, where we will be together. You know where I'm going and how to get there. Thomas, he says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the path? How do we know how to get there? And Jesus said, I am the path. I am the truth. I am the energy of life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you know me, you know the Father. Rest assured now, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, all I'm asking you is that you show us the Father. And Jesus said to Philip, I have lived with you all this time and you still don't know who I am. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How can you keep asking to see the Father? Don't you believe me when I say that I abide in the Father and the Father dwells in me? I'm not making this up as I go along. The Father has given me these truths that I am speaking to you, and he has empowered all my actions. Accept these truths that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me. And if you have trouble believing based on my words, believe because of the things that I've said, the things that I've done. I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me, whoever has the same revelation as I have, that the Father dwells in them, will be able to do what I have done. But they will do even greater things because I will return to the Father. That is why the apostles did what Jesus did, because he lived by the faith of the Son of God. Now he said, Paul said in Galatians 4:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I'm living. I'm alive. Yet it's not me that's living, but rather it's Christ that is alive and living in me. And the life that I'm now living in the flesh, I'm living by the revelation of the Son of God. The same revelation he had that God was in him is the same revelation that lives in me. And I live by that revelation, and the life that I'm now living in this flesh is God's own life that is living my life for me, just as he did for his own son. That's what this entire series is all about. I tell you the truth, whoever believes in me, whoever has the same revelation as I have, that the Father dwells in them, will be able to do what I have done. But they will do even greater things because I will return to my Father. To be with my Father. Whatever you ask for in my name, I will do it, so that the Father will get glory from the Son. Let me say it again. If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, then obey the commandments I have given you. I will ask the Father to send you another helper, the Spirit of Truth, who will remain constantly with you. The world does not recognize the Spirit of Truth because it does not know the Spirit and is unable to receive him. But you do know the Spirit of truth because he lives in you. That's that know, that's that gnosko, that experiential knowledge. And notice, that's present tense. And he will dwell in you. That's future tense. I will never abandon you like orphans. I will return to be with you. In a little while, the world will not see me, but I will not vanish completely from your sight because I live. You will live also. In other words, I will not completely vanish from your sight because I'm living in you. My spirit will be living your life for you. Now, here are the words Brother Branham was quoting. At that day, you will know that I'm in the Father because he is the Word. And you will know, and you will be in me because I am the manifested Word. And I, the manifested Word, will be in you. The one who loves me will do the things I have commanded. My Father loves everyone who loves me, and I will love you and reveal my heart, my will, and my nature to you. I'd like to ask the question, has he revealed his heart, his will, and his nature to you? How do you know it? Because he's living it out. The other Judas said, Lord, why will you reveal yourself to us but not to the world? And Jesus said, anyone who loves me will listen to my voice and will obey. The Father will love him and we will draw close to him and make a dwelling place within him. The one who does not love me ignores my message, which is not my message but the Father who sent me. It's his message. I have spoken these words while I am here with you. The Father is sending a great helper, his Holy Spirit. And he's sending him to you and in my name to teach you everything and to remind you of all that I have said. That's my parting gift to you. Is the peace I have, you will have, because you will have my spirit living and abiding within you. I'm not leaving you the way that you're used to being left, feeling abandoned and bereft. So don't get upset. Don't be distraught. Do not let your heart be troubled or fearful. You were listening when I said, I will go away, but I will also return to be with you. And if you love me, celebrate the fact that I'm going to be with the Father because he is far greater than I am. I've told you all these things in advance so that your faith will grow as these things come to pass. Your faith will grow as you see these things coming to pass. Of all peoples on the earth who call themselves Christians, we ought to be the least troubled and the most at rest because we have seen what Jesus promised come to pass, not only in a vindicated prophet, but in ourselves. What he said has manifested not only before our very eyes, but within our very being. He said, I have told you all of these things in advance so that your faith will grow as these things come to pass. And as you see more of the Christ life in you, your faith grows and grows and grows to match it. And then he adds, I am almost finished speaking to you. The one who rules the world is stepping forward and he has no part in me. But to demonstrate to the cosmos my love for the Father, I will do just as he commands. Stand up. It is time for us to leave this place. So they get up and they leave for Gethsemane. And we hear Brother Branham closing prayer by saying, Father, it could not be made plain and perfect because then we'd have nothing to have faith for. But all works of God is governed by faith and by faith in your word, in the evidence of the Holy Spirit that we know is now. I ask that every hungry soul in here be filled with the Holy Ghost. Those who do not have it and are hungering for it, just remember, we say to them, Lord, like this, that you said, blessed are you when you do hunger and thirst, for you shall be filled. That's a promise. And it's even blessed to be hungry. You're blessed even to know that God has spoken to you. For it said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And Lord, those who are old veterans here, they put up their hands and I had mine up. O Lord, give us strength. Give us power to stretch forth the hand of thy holy child Jesus, that signs and wonders might be done, that it might be a deeper ministry, a greater thing than has ever happened yet. Give us boldness and love to speak to the people. Grant it, Lord, be with us all, be with us in all things we ask it in Jesus' name. And tomorrow night, Lord, may there come such a mighty rushing wind into the building that it'll just be like another day of Pentecost. The foundation's been laid, everything is ready, the ox are killed, the fatlings are killed, the rams are killed, the table is set, the guests are invited. Oh Lord, send a jubilee of Pentecost tomorrow night into the building and fill every soul with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Grant it, Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And then Brother Branham sings a song, and I think some of you may know it. He said, we'll learn a lot of things. We'll have a harp that's made of gold, perhaps 1,000 strings. I'll try to get the... We'll learn a lot. We'll sing and shout and dance about the Lamb. We'll dry our tears. We'll have one home, come home, come home, coming week, the first in 1,000 years. Amen. The precious blood of God's own Son has cleansed and sanctified a wondrous people for His name, and they are called the bride. Though here neglected and despised, one day the Lord will bring those chosen ones within the gates, and that's worth everything. But anyway, I got some of the words. The words are there, but let's just bow our heads. Dear Lord, we want to thank you, Lord. It's a very simple message tonight. Just closing out this series that your prophet gave to us and spoke, Lord. It was your words to us, because actually a prophet is just a mouthpiece of you. And so, Father, we thank you for this, these thoughts. In closing, Lord, we ask you to be with us and help us as we go our way. We ask you, Lord, that the main thing for us is that your word would be manifested in us. And as we see more of your life manifesting in our life, then it would increase our faith. And we ask that you increase our faith for rapturing faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all.